sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. Patricia, a sexual authenticity coach and a Jersey girl turned Minnesotan, and I, Judy, a health educator, advocate, and podcaster, a lifelong Minnesota girl, get together and talk about sex. Hey, Patricia.
Hey, Judy, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. So we're still dealing with the coronavirus, and we're just recording this as it's going on, just trying to keep going with our podcast recordings.
Yeah. So we don't know when this comes out. It won't be too far from when we record, but we know that we don't know what the world's going to look like then. So.
Right. And we just want you to know that we take the coronavirus very seriously. And to anybody out there who is suffering or struggling, we send you our thoughts and prayers and our sexual energy in hopes that you are able to come through on the other side and continue to pay attention to sex and sex matters.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. Yes. Very strange times we're in. So good luck and best wishes to everyone. All of us.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, we are going to talk about small penises.
Yeah.
And I think this is a very interesting conversation, and I'm excited for you to define things. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna do that. I think this is a very interesting conversation because this is, for me personally, this is one of those things that I totally understand that bodies are different, women's bodies are different. But for me personally, I think guys worry too much about this, and I think part of the reason they worry too much about it is because there isn't enough discussion around it. So I'm excited to have part of the discussion because I think it's something that men or those with penises, I think they need to think, you know, not worry so much, but be educated and thoughtful about.
Yes,
especially
I
if they
agree.
Feel they're not of the average size, which we're going to focus on small penises today, but that goes for large penises too. There's not like a free ride on that end of town. So.
Yeah. You know, as women, sometimes we'll do our little powwow conversations where we talk about, you know, does size matter? And for those of us who've experienced a lot of different sizes or shapes or, you know, that it leans to the left or it curves up or whatever, right. All of it kind of plays into the exchange, but oftentimes it's not necessarily the size that matters. I mean, it's more about the experience mm-hmm. for some. Right. For other people, they really, really enjoy the feeling of the fullness inside. It depends on what gets you off, I suppose. So,
and depends on what size you are as
right.
well, you know, and every penis is different. I mean,
yeah.
it's going to, penises of the same length can hit you differently inside your body and create a completely different sensation.
Yeah, because they can be different variations of hardness. They can have curvatures. They can, you know, have been whacked off a whole bunch and have calluses. I mean, who knows? Who knows what you're getting into when you go to have sex? And, our average vaginal canal is 3 to 6 inches long, but our vaginas are able to contract and expand as in, you know, childbirth or during sex, it can change shape. So we have the ability to kind of morph or adapt where a man doesn't, because what they have is what they have. You know, the rest of their stuff is internal or you know, some way has been modified through their genetics or whatever else. So, and there are some women who have shorter vaginal canals that have painful sex or whatever, or they're not able to fully experience penetration because it doesn't feel good to them. So we want to acknowledge that on the other side as well. But today we're going to talk about small and micro penises, okay? Because this is a real thing, and it a lot of women don't even realize that this is a thing. And if you ever are going to have intimacy with or go to have sex with somebody and they drop their drawers and they have a micropenis, there's a shock value that could happen. Mm-hmm. And that's uncomfortable for both parties. So should it be something like, is that a disclosure thing that a man should say in the first, you know, couple of texts that he sends you? Oh, by the way, I have a small dick. So if you're not into that, you know, you might want to pass me by. That's a really shitty way to look at things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, as women, we don't want to be judged like that, right?
Exactly. And I don't, for sure. Oh my God. And then hearing some guys who have said they have small penises who really don't, like,
yeah.
You know,
it's a self-perception,
exactly,
or a comparison thing, because they're comparing with what they see on porn, which is not reality, of course.
Right.
It's real to the actors, but it's not real life. So,
oh, it's not even real to the actors.
Yeah. Well, their body appendages, it's part of them,
right,
for the most
true
part.
Yes, I see what you're saying. Yes, absolutely.
But, you know, the act of pornography that's being put on as a scene for people's enjoyment and sexual enticement or whatever is not necessarily what you would see in real life. So, and we'll talk about big dicks in a separate
episode.
Podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Episode. But today we're going to talk about small penises. So when we share stories about our sexual experiences or whatever, sometimes it comes up and sometimes it doesn't. But when men have a small penis, a micro penis, now I was sharing some information with you ahead of time that, okay, a small penis is 2.8 inches to 5 inches.
Okay, erect,
a micro,
or not erect?
That's erect.
Okay.
Smaller than 2.8 inches is considered a micro penis.
Okay. That makes
more
sense.
They clarified it.
Okay.
Further.
That's very, very helpful. Cause I'm like 5 inches. I'm sorry. That is horrible.
Yeah.
I think if we're calling that a micro penis, so I'm happy to hear that. That makes me feel better.
Yeah. But let's also remember that that's the erect.
Yes.
Penis.
Well, my God, some guys have nothing and then they are erect and it's a whole different story. So.
Yeah, the whole idea of the turtle in the shell.
Right, or the grower and the grower not shower.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right. So it's right. Fascinating to me when, you know, you see a man who's not erect and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, it comes from nowhere. So it's pretty interesting. It's fascinating the way the body works and just through the circulatory system and the hardening of that tissue around blood flow. It's fascinating. But if a man has a micropenis, it is considered a disability-ish, you know.
Really?
It's like it's a medical diagnosis.
Okay.
And that is so I'd say a disability because it affects men very much so psychologically.
Mm-hmm.
As a disability, it affects, they worry about how it affects sexual satisfaction. And it's usually able to be diagnosed in a newborn baby.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that interesting?
That is very interesting.
Yeah, because it's not a condition that causes a normal size member to suddenly shrink. So it's not like you lose your, like as women, we shrink over time, you know, we get older and we start to get shorter. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen that way with a penis. So it's usually caused by hormonal abnormalities during fetal gestation. So this kind of, sometimes it comes out looking so small that it's almost like a clit, that it does not even look like a penis.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
This is something that we're talking about after we already recorded about the gender reveal party and the gender, sometimes gender identification is difficult for the doctors to do at the time.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of falls under some of that.
Mm.
Because okay. It could be a micropenis that's not, you know, that's not showing, and it looks more like female genitalia.
Right. And then mistaken for a female. Okay.
Right. Right. So the imbalance is thought to be like low testosterone production at some point in gestation. And that is what would cause the penis to become larger in a normal male fetus, But it's only a true micropenis is only reported to be present in 1.5 individuals out of 10,000.
Oh, wow. It's that. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So it's not that common. Right. And here's what I'm going to say. I have run into a micropenis in my day. And the penis that I ran into, it was at a sex party. And I was surprised because I had never seen one, and I was fascinated because I was observing. It was during my year of exploration. So this was totally new and kind of just blew me away. I didn't actually interact with this person. I just saw it and I watched him interacting with others.
Okay.
And it was like a woman going down on a woman. It was this girl and she was sucking him off like she was eating pussy. That's what it looked like to me. Mm-hmm. Now, oftentimes there is, you know, if someone has a micropenis, there are surgery options and stuff, but they usually wait until their bodies are done growing through their teens, adolescent stuff. And a micropenis actually functions normally just like any other organ. You can still have erections, you can still masturbate, you can still have orgasm, you still urinate. It's just the size, and sometimes it's difficult for them to have penetrative sexual intercourse.
Right. That makes perfect sense to me.
Right. Now, even for a man who has a small penis, which is 2.8 to 5 inches erect, it can be difficult to have penetration. And it can be difficult to have penetration because of extra body weight, you know, because you carry fat and stuff down in that area of your body. And if you have there's a lot of fatty tissue around the mound, you know, right where your penis comes from when it's erect, mm-hmm. that just takes away from the depth of your penetration. So keeping fit and taking off the extra weight and stuff would help with the depth of penetration in that way.
One of my friends used to say for some of the guys, if you want a bigger penis, lose some weight, you know, go to the gym. There is a reality to that.
Yeah. Right. The one thing where they really are the most challenged is in conceiving, having intercourse for the sake of having children. So oftentimes IVF is required, but they're able to use their own sperm because they're still able to ejaculate and all that stuff.
That is interesting. I suppose, I guess I'm trying to think of what I know about biology and the sperm, you know, getting up the vaginal canal and getting through. It's having the penis there and then shooting, you know. Granted, I mean, we know that sometimes you don't have to have penetrative sex to get pregnant. So we know that can be a thing as well. So it doesn't guarantee anything just because you have a, ladies, don't ever fall for the guy who says, I have a micro penis, I can't get you pregnant. Not true.
Yeah, right.
But there could be some issues there.
Right. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about, there's a lot of psychological impacts around this because men are often see themselves by how they're judged. And there was a time when locker rooms and stuff where men would shower together, the service, you know, you go into service and or, you know, where they have to shower in each other's presence, and there's the shame about your cock size and, you know, some people are hung like a horse and other ones, you know, they're shriveled up because they, you know, but it, with a micropenis, it's pretty obvious that it's different. It's not necessarily just a small dick. It's a, you know, it's a condition. So they can have a lot of insecurities around this. But as far as sex goes, I'm going to say that oftentimes these men make excellent lovers because they've had to find other ways to please their women. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or their partner. They're
compensating. I know I've heard women say, and I can totally make sense of this, mm-hmm. of I like going out with guys who have smaller penises because they have to focus on something else. And if you're somebody who really appreciates the physical affection and all of the rest of the physicalities that come with touch and sensation and love that, you know, I'll take that. No problem. So it's, you know, if they can't just be out for themselves, right? I mean, in many cases, because it's not just get in, get out, move on. So they have to do things differently. So yeah, that's, I just was thinking about the song, which is an interesting thing that we have, I think, shifted in our world a little bit, but I don't think emotionally always, is, do you remember the song Short Dick Man? That was out in 1995.
No,
really?
I don't know this song.
Okay. No. Oh God, don't want no short dick, man. I'll have to put it on the thing.
You'll have to find it. Yep.
it was one of those songs that I remember. I liked the song because it had a good beat, but I really had a problem with the message, and a lot of people did. I mean, it was a very popular song at the time,
yeah,
my recollection, but it wasn't always a comfortably popular song, because there were, and it did spur some conversations of people saying, I like the song because it has a good beat, but I don't agree with the message because it's putting down men for a physical feature they can do zero about, something they're born with, and I don't even agree with it for my own self. Right.
Yeah.
So it was putting a bad message in the culture at the time. And I think, again, I wish we could have been a little more able to have those conversations, because I think they're important to have back then too. But I'm glad to see that that isn't like, we don't pull that song out at weddings these days.
Yeah, right. Well, so one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this is because this is pretty associative with people when they have ED as well. If they were to put themselves in the place of somebody who's had, who was born with a small or a micropenis as their appendage, they would have to find other ways to please their women. It's not that it can't be done. So there's lots of other ways, like oral, hands, grinding, penetration, toys. They all involve less genital configuration and more about the connection and pleasing one another. Mm-hmm. And sometimes men who are on the smaller side are better at showing desire for a woman and showing engagement emotionally or on an intellectual level, because that's a way that they're compensating for their action and their feelings around how good they'll be in bed.
Right.
Now, and again, it's not always that way. They're usually just phenomenal lovers. If you need penetration, you can be penetrated with a dildo or a toy and still have amazing sex. There's just, you know, incredible orgasms. But if you really need to have a cock to be able to get off, then obviously this will be a problem for some women.
Right. Yeah. If that's your thing. And not all women need that. I mean, I think that's another thing that men can really understand is, you know, that's our culture. That's our culture says that is the important thing. Penis, vagina, sex. It's not sex if it's not penis, vagina.
That's right. Yep.
And it's not, you know, there are a lot of women that isn't their mainstay. That is not what they need to be happy. Right.
Right.
And if you, I mean, and a guy could put on a strap-on too.
Yeah, if or an extender or
right.
Whatever.
So there are tools, and but I just don't want men to feel like if you can't come through with that particular action that it makes you any less or any less capable. If it, period, but take the extra step to go, what does my partner need? What does she want? How do we make this work? And again, that's where communication and why these conversations are so important, because then it takes away the frustration and it gets to the point of having solutions without frustration or anger or contempt, right? It's,
yeah. You know,
it's about, like you said, it's about the focus of solving the problem, and I don't even want to call it a problem.
A problem, right. It's more about the connection and engaging in a pleasurable experience together.
Right. And being able to communicate is such a huge plus, you know, to have that skill. Mm-hmm. You're bringing a lot to the table right there.
Yeah. Yeah. So like some of the ways to take the pressure off of a partner who may have a small cock, you know, or a micro penis. I don't want to belittle the micro penis people by just saying they have a small cock, or make the small cock people think that they're, you know, lumped in with the micro penis people. It doesn't really matter. I'm just talking about pleasure in general, taking some of the pressure off the size and making it more about the pleasurable experience, kind of like you're saying, is, you know, play around some beforehand, make it a little more about the play versus the penetration. So like having 69 with someone who might be below average, an average penis is 5.6 inches erect. That's average.
That's a pretty decent. I mean, that's still a pretty decent penis. I mean, sorry. I think that's fine.
Right. So, and you know, and that's erect. So, you know, a lot of guys, they look at their cock when it's not erect and they think that it's small. Mm-hmm. Well, give yourself some credit. When it's erect, break out the ruler and find out where you are, I guess, if that's really important. But,
and then don't stress about it.
Right. Right. Having oral sex with somebody, like 69ing with somebody who, is below average is great, because then you don't have to worry so much about gagging and breathing, you know? So mm-hmm. you can do all kinds of fun things with your tongue. If you're trying to have penetrative sex and it, you know, sometimes on the edge of the bed works best versus missionary style, try different positions to see, what works best for you. Sometimes lifting your bum up or using some sort of like a pillow or a liberator wedge, one of those, it looks like a physical therapy wedge or from a nursing home where they prop somebody up on their side to keep them, you know, if you can put that under your hips and just have yourself more exposed and open, it makes it a little easier. But if your partner slips out, give them a lip job. Now, a lip job just is basically, you remember when we were talking about kunyaza several podcasts ago? Kunyaza is taking a man's cock and rubbing it all over your female parts and engorging yourself until you come. So that is basically a lip job. So you're using your lips and your clit, your inner lips, your outer lips, use all of it to stimulate that area. And use the rubbing and stroking on the head of the penis and shaft to, you know, grind and rock and move your pelvic floor muscles. You can easily come to an orgasm in this heightened sensitivity.
Oh my God. So many women have a lot of pleasure and
outside of
right.
The
it's
vaginal
not
canal.
For so many, it isn't the vaginal penetration that is the most fun. It's the other stuff. You can do amazing things. And guys who, or partners, I shouldn't say guys, cause it's not necessarily true, but partners who take the time to figure that out. And a lot of women kind of already know that, like this isn't news to many women. The people who will take the time to spend time away from the vagina and touch everything around there, by the time you actually get to the vagina with whatever you're using, whether it's your fingers, whether it's a tool, whether it's your penis, whatever, the build is so much greater. And people, I think, miss that opportunity when they have never really spent time having sex, when it's the type of guy who is the, all right, I'm erect, let's get in and get out, and it's not really about you, it's about me. They miss the power of the orgasm they could be giving somebody coming back to them and powering their orgasm.
That's right. That's right. Another suggestion is that for a woman to feel more full is to insert a finger or a thumb along with the penis at the same time. So if you're using your hands and the cock, erect tissue, to create a nice full sensation on the inside, or some of that tugging that is part of what, you know, women like the pressure. Some women like the pressure of being penetrated. Using your fingers in addition to your cock is good. Doggy style is a position that fits genitals together nicely and snugly, and it minimizes slippage. So, you know, you could get a nice hug type feel from doing a doggy style type thing. One of the other things I really wanted to talk about is, one, with micro penis and small penis, sometimes you can skip the lube because you don't have to worry so much about internal penetration and the sensitivity of the inner lining of the vagina.
Right.
Or, now, the whole reason this came up in the first place was because I've been doing a lot of research about condoms, and finding condoms for a man with a very small penis or a man with a very large penis is difficult to do. To find just the right kind and just the right fit that brings you the most pleasure can be quite an arduous task, and it can be expensive. Because as these condom companies and stuff realize that they have a niche or a special supply and demand situation, they jack the prices up. Mm-hmm. So one of the ways that you can, as a female, for a partner with a smaller than average penis, you can try to use the female condom. Now, female condoms are not easy to find. You have to buy them online. You can order them through Amazon, but they're shipped over from someplace outside of the United States. They're not approved actually for sale in the United States. You can't buy them at Walgreens and CVS. There is not a version here in the United States that's able to be manufactured as a government approved.
Do you know why that is?
You know, I don't really know why. They used to have them on the market and they were pulled. And I wonder if it isn't the idea that they're not 100%. I mean, their effectiveness is largely based on the ability to keep them in place.
Okay, right.
So it's not a guarantee. Like putting on a condom, I think the rate is somewhere around 89-point-something% effective, because it can break or it can be left inside of her or whatever. But with a female condom, if it doesn't stay in place and they go on the side of the condom versus mm-hmm. actually into the condom, that there's a greater chance for it to not be effective.
Right. User error is a little higher. Accidental user error.
Right. Right. So, I mean, it's a good option for somebody who doesn't like a traditional condom, and it can be worn by the person being penetrated. And so when you have a really small cock, it's really hard to find the right size condom. So this is a good answer for that, mm-hmm. because they're not going to be shifting it around with their, you know, with insertion, because they're not going to go in that far that it's going to jar it out of place or whatever.
Right.
So it kind of
making
folds.
Sure. Yeah. That so a female condom, if somebody hasn't seen it, it's a condom looking thing. People have joked about it being like, it looks more like a cozy.
It looks like a cozy for a beer can.
It's a better description actually.
It's a plastic, you know, but it's got a ring at the bottom.
Got the ring, right. And so it goes in. And I've never actually used one. They kind of freak me out.
They're messy to use. You really have to like get your hand up in there or use a toy to put it and get it in place properly. And it can kind of stifle the mood in the moment if you're not prepared with it ahead of time, because you're like, oh, let me go, you know, put it in place or whatever. And then am I hitting the spot right? Cause he's got to penetrate you in the sleeve, not to the side of the sleeve. So
and
there's
you
a
can
lot of
see,
extra. Yeah.
Right. There's an awareness. And I would think once you kind of got used to that, it wouldn't be such a big deal.
Right.
But knowing, you know, making sure that you know it's there, it's on all sides of the penis. The one thing that women have sometimes liked about it is that it gives them some control. Like they can put it in beforehand.
Yeah.
And there. Yeah. And they then have some control over it again if the partner doesn't mess with her, whatever, tries to go to the side, what kind
yeah.
of, but it gives a little bit of control on, you know, for yourself. So there are those advantages. And I know I have heard, and I don't know if this is true anymore, but I heard a while back that people have said if you want them, get a hold of Planned Parenthood, and sometimes they will let you know that they have them.
Right.
They don't have that way. If there's something that you use and they are helpful to you, to let them know so that they can help you get them.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, they're expensive too. I'm going to just say you can get them with a prescription from your doctor. That's the way to get them without ordering them from out of the country.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that odd? So like I'm looking up right now, why are they so hard to find? Let me just see what they're saying here. It says, why are they unpopular? But they're expensive. They're almost $5 a piece when you break them out in a pack or whatever, how much you pay for them. Mm-hmm. And you only use them once, obviously. You can use them for vaginal or anal play, but you have to remove the inner ring, which is meant to be the barrier between your cervix.
Sits up there like the Nuva ring does.
Right, right. And it's basically a pouch that's inserted before sex. And it's, they say it's 95% effective if used correctly, and the male condom is 98% effective. They're saying that it's more involved than using its male counterpart. The process of inserting it is more involved. I don't think that that's a good enough reason. It sounds complicated, but it's really not. If there's instructions all over the internet how to use them, how to put on a male condom and how to use a female condom. It's quite similar to the discs that people are using now, like Diva cups and stuff, where up and they capture blood flow during menstruation. So it's kind of the same idea is that it kind of goes up and protects anything from getting up further that way. They say it's a lack of spontaneity, decrease in sensation, which is what I have heard from men who use it is that it feels like they're fucking a plastic bag. They don't get the sensation of the warmth and the folds of the inner vagina.
I can make sense of that. In my memory, it's a little bit thicker, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a little different material than your typical condom. Like your typical condom is a little more, I think of it as more of balloon pulled kind of taut, where I think of the female condom more as a, I hate to say this, garbage bag,
right?
But it's that kind of looseness.
But for a man who doesn't want a tight condom, or they can't find a condom that stays on because they may be too small, it's a very good option.
That makes sense. Makes sense. Yeah. Something else to just be aware of if you are somebody who uses a female condom is, so the male condom is, you know, it's very tight around the penis. Therefore, you know, you pull it, you create a little bit of space, semen comes out, boom, it's there. And for men who get really unerect, either quickly or go really small, they have to be really careful to make sure that they're holding on to the condom.
Right.
When they become unerect so that they can take it off and then they're not spilling it. It's similar in a slight sense in this. If you are using the condom, the female condom, and you're the penis inside and you come and then you still keep thrusting and then you go outside the condom, you of course have completely voided and nulled the lack of pregnancy that's going to happen, right? So because you then, your penis that has ejaculate on it is going between the condom and the vaginal wall, which is then putting semen inside her vagina, which no, maybe you're not actually coming and that's not helping it push, but that doesn't mean anything. You can still get pregnant from that. And the other thing is to be aware then after you have come, if you're going to pull the condom out, to pull it really, really carefully so that the cum doesn't come and drip outside again.
Yes, so right.
Twisting it, grabbing the edges, the ring on the outside, and carefully holding and twisting and pulling it out.
But like I was saying, I was doing all this research on condoms, which is what provoked this conversation. Mm-hmm. And part of the problem with female condoms, and this is a problem, it's a problem with condoms in general and birth control as a whole. And you were mentioning this when we were talking about this before we started to record, is that even today, contraceptives are still considered the woman's job to provide it. If we don't want to get pregnant, we need to protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. And female condoms aren't really taking off because it's just yet another thing women have to do, and they're more expensive and they're more difficult to get. And, you know, it's just one of those things that if you're with a partner that has a very large penis or a very small penis, or they have trouble finding the condom that works best for them, and they're pressuring you to go bare because the condom doesn't fit right or whatever, mm-hmm. this is an option for you, but it doesn't mean that the guy can't be buying them.
Yeah, I have heard guys say this, mm-hmm. and I have certainly seen them in attitude, but I have heard them straight out say, birth control, that's her problem. That's her responsibility. And it's like, how can you even get away with saying that? Like, how can you just think that? I mean, you know, and then other guys, they just don't show up with them on dates, and they make it this hurdle that you have to cross to have a condom. And, you know, yeah, I get it that having sex without it is nice. I get that. But that's just not the real world we live in, you know.
Yeah.
Little people are made from this act, and sexually transmitted diseases are transferred. And it really is a show of disrespect, I think, to and minimizing the worth of the person you're with by absolutely saying it's their responsibility, or just not showing up, or telling her, I like these kind. If you want condoms, go get me that kind. You know, it's one thing if you're out or you forgot. I mean, there's legit reasons, but you can also go out and get them. You can, you know, let her know if you're sharing the cost, let her know what you like, you know, so.
Well, you know, that's very, very true. Even, I mean, we can take this even further out and zoom out even more and make it not even about the size, but maybe it's about sensitivity. I mean, some people have latex allergies, so they mm-hmm. need non-latex condoms. Maybe the search for condoms is that, so where do you find non-latex condom that will fit without having to buy a box of them and find out it doesn't? You know, they online, they give you the measurements, the length, the width, the this, the that. Does it have a place for capturing the sperm? You know, all this kind of stuff. But unless you try it on and you know whether it reacts with your body or not, it's a crapshoot. Mm-hmm. So buying condoms is quite an issue. So when a man finds one that works for them, they should be able to keep them in stock.
Right.
And be responsible for bringing them when it's time to play.
Yep.
So It's a very, very interesting thing to me. But, you know, I've heard of all kinds of different things, especially men with small penises or micro penises, where people have used gloves and cut fingers off to use. That's not effective. That's mm-hmm. not an effective condom. Or using a dental dam that's meant for your mouth and putting it over your pussy and doing the rubbing that way. That's not going to stay in place. I mean, you're taking risks.
Right.
You're taking risks with anything, I guess, I suppose, you know, at 98%.
Having sex is taking a risk.
Yeah. But it's still a very interesting thing to think about, you know, how challenging this can be and yet how necessary it is. And why, I guess when you're talking about micro penises being 1.5 in 10,000, the market isn't very huge. And I guess that's why the price is driven up.
Yeah.
But does that make that person any less worth sexual pleasure?
Right.
You know, should they be made to not feel like they're enough or like they're a circus freak? No. Right. You know?
Well, and that's a cultural challenge that we have, yeah. right? That yeah. that we're so judged on aspects of our body, and there's such a rigid view of what beauty and acceptableness is. And I've always, again, the discussions around, and again, I think we're getting better with this, and maybe it's because I'm also hearing conversations from older women, but, mm-hmm. You know, the making fun of a guy because of his penis being small, it's an interesting thing, because what guys with smaller penises need to know is, if you hear people talk about very large penises, sometimes the reaction is internally very similar for women or partners, not even just women, but we're culturally, it's so much more acceptable to have trying to find the right word.
I'll give it to you right now. Men with very large penises are often turned away for sex because women are afraid of the pain, or that they're not right. It won't fit, or that it's going to cause damage. So men with large cocks have issues too.
Right. But socially, it's more acceptable. We see that as a good thing. We see that as a positive more so. Yeah. And some guys, I was just hearing somebody talk about a partner they had. It was a male to male partner. And he said this guy who very large penis, was so confident about his penis size that he was forgetting about his partners. He was forgetting he had this large penis that you need to be careful. You need to be mindful. Mm. And so my only point to say that is that there are issues on both ends, and it's that cultural acceptedness that we have. And so it's a good thing to be mindful if you have a partner who has a smaller penis, if it's smaller versus larger, that be mindful of their emotional baggage that they may well have because of what our culture has given them from that.
Yeah. And, you know, as a partner to somebody that would have a small or even a extra large penis, I don't think that we should lie about it. I mean, it is what it is, and we need to embrace it and work with it to find our pleasure and their pleasure. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, some guy with a micro penis and you're telling him, oh my gosh, you fill me up so good, or, oh baby, you know, what a big cock, put your big cock in my pussy. No, that's not going to work, because this person knows, mm-hmm. and you're humiliating them. Truthfully, you're lying to them. And it's that you have to find different ways to communicate, or different ways to talk sexy, or different ways to show your appreciation. It's just not scripted, and no sexual play should just be scripted like that, period. But that's what we hear on porn, and that's what we think they want to hear, and that's what we think we're supposed to do. And it needs to be unique to every situation. Every partner, you know, on either side, giver and receiver, needs to be accepting of each other and be responsible for a part in their own pleasure. And part of that is communication. Being able to communicate what feels good, what doesn't. Let's try this. Let's try that. Can we introduce a toy? You know, stuff like that. Just the communication around it needs to be truthful and kind. You know, you can be kind without lying. Mm-hmm. You can acknowledge that, you know, perhaps your spouse has a small cock, but man, does he know what to do with his fingers.
Right. Exactly.
You know, magic hands. You know, that's like incredible. So, oral sex, maybe they're just phenomenal with the oral sex, and the bumping and grinding at the end so he gets off is the icing on the cake. You know, there's just different things that you do with different partners and different size pieces that go together differently. Ultimately, sexual arousal and pleasure can be achieved once we take a step back and just immerse ourselves in the pleasure and sensation versus about the size and stigmas.
Right. And not getting caught up in the, if you can't please a person with penis vaginal sex, that makes you any less of a person. Mm-hmm. You know, it might make that particular partner, you might have to figure things out specifically, but there's a lot of women who are, most women do not come through penis vaginal sex. And so if you have a smaller penis and you're rubbing it on their clit, that might be well preferred for her to have an orgasm. That might be the freaking bomb of orgasms.
No kidding. Cause some women have experienced very painful sex.
Right.
And clitoral stimulation is their go-to, and it's what they would do with themselves. So why not?
Right.
You know, and it's the best of both worlds. There's an answer. There's an answer out there. I think people need to get over the shoulds that have been planted, like that you should have this, or you need to have that to be a good lover, or that your cock size makes you of a certain value, or for a man or a woman, you know, regardless of who your partner is, that you have these stigmas or preconceived notions around what has to happen or what should be when there's nothing. You can get off with all your clothes on, just like rocking up against each other and breathing together and staring into each other's eyes if you train yourself to be that aware. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
So,
yeah. Well, and sometimes it is finding new habits and new ways to train, you know, it's like for people who have never had to use a condom because maybe they've had a partner they've had and now they're in a new relationship or whatever, finding ways to make the condom work so that they can still come, you know.
Yeah.
But it's very much what are habits, what's working, what's not working, how do we do things differently? And if you don't succeed at doing something the first time, can you help yourself, can you help your body become okay with that, because it's just a training or a habit or whatever that you have learned to do. And the other thing this also comes to mind, be careful the questions that you ask your partners, because this is I had somebody ask me about another partner and asked basically, I don't remember the exact question, but it was asking if this other person had a bigger penis than them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the wrong question. Like, first of all, it's not great to compare yourself to other people. But if you ask somebody else, was this lover's penis larger than mine? If their answer is yes, that doesn't mean you're not, you know, that you can't please them just as well. Because in my mind, it's like, it's not their penis size. It's what can you do with what we've got that is the pleasure. For me, penis size is not, that's not where it's at. So if you ask that question and that's something that's going to, you know, I would say just don't ask that question, because then it puts in your mind, it's about size, and she or the other partner, in most cases in this discussion, probably she, if she says, yes, it was bigger, but you please me more, you know how to please me better, I think there's a lot of guys that still get stuck in the he has a bigger penis.
Yeah.
And so don't ask that question if you're not prepared to hear the answer. Probably just don't ask the question, because if you can't stop yourself from hearing the answer, if you miss the point that she's saying, but I am sexually more pleased with our relationship, with what we do sexually, and you can't hear that and you're stuck on the penis size, that takes away from your relationship, and it takes away from her ability, because you're then on that like little place of edge that you're never quite feeling like you're enough. And she might be feeling, dude, you are so much more than enough. You know what I mean? Those things get in the way.
They do. You're right. And then, well, we can't really have this conversation without the idea of talking about the compensation piece some more, because unless men are secure with who they are as an individual, we, or people in general, when we have insecurities, we try to make up for it somewhere else. It does. It happens a lot. It happens in women. It happens in men. It happens in kids. It happens all over the place. You know, when you have a deficiency somewhere, you try and make up for it somewhere else. It's kind of nature's balance. Mm-hmm. So there are, I'm sure you've heard of the Napoleon complex, you know, when there's a man with that's really small, or like a short man doesn't necessarily have a small cock. A man with small feet doesn't have a small cock. You know, those kind of things aren't necessarily it, but you can tell a lot about a person by the way they act outwardly, that they're trying to make up for something. So, you know, and putting other people down and leveling people is not attractive. So if you're a person that has a small cock and you feel like you need to defend yourself or make up for it in other ways, like do some shadow work, kind of look at yourself and where you're projecting, where you may be repelling wonderful partners by not being at least open and vulnerable to your emotions, or just accepting who you are as a person without the insecurities around your cock size. These are a lot of the people that I see in my coaching are people who have identified themselves by their dick for all of their life until they get to a point where they realize that's not what life is about.
That's a really interesting and powerful statement if you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why really I bring it up.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely huge. And I think it's probably what, you know, again, you think of the person you are at 20 versus the person you are at 30 versus the person you are at 40 versus 50, right? Like you go through these massive changes. Mm-hmm. And if we can, again, why education is so important and open discussion is so important, if we can help bring that conversation down to younger guys so that they don't have to go through that.
Right.
That they can start, you know, understanding and asking right questions or listening to their partners and not being in a space where they can't hear their partner. And this is where it's important. Your statement, I think on the previous podcast that we did, your statement of have your words mean something, your yes, be yes, your no, be no. You know, it's a tough thing. We women need to find ways to be able to say that we're not happy with something, because there's a lot of women who have said, yes, I like that thing that you're doing, and they don't. And 5 years later, they've never had an orgasm. And how do you bring it up? And how humiliating is that for both of you? You know, because they thought all along that because you wanted him to please you, that you wanted him to think he was pleasing you, or whatever the case might be. So it is a challenge on all parties' ends of learning how to do this. How do we communicate? How do we accept the communication? And grow from that. But I think you're right. There's been a lot of men hurt by that. By that identification.
Yep. And it's so interesting to me nowadays, how many different things people are turned on by. Like it used to be that, I think as women, we were trained to look at certain things and that was what was supposed to be attractive. And nowadays there are so many different variations on things that are attractive. Like some people really, really go for the sapiosexual, which is all about the mind and being able to have stimulating conversation, that is so much more of a turn on than any bodily aspect. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just an example. But there's lots and lots of people that have the spectrum of what their sexuality looks like to them. And you shouldn't negate yourself based on a body part. That's really what it comes down to, mm-hmm. is that, and this is going to sound bad, one person's trash is another person's treasure. It's the absolute truth. You know, what doesn't work for one person may be the absolute best thing in the world for another person.
Right.
You just have to find each other. And the only way to really find each other is to be open and vulnerable and accepting and self-love. Loving yourself first then puts that positive energy out into the universe where others see you as lovable. And that's what they're drawn to versus the nature selection and the, you know, the pheromones or the height or weight or whatever else. Oftentimes it comes down to just being open to love. And that oftentimes starts with loving yourself first.
Yeah.
All of yourself, regardless of your penis, regardless of your vagina,
right.
regardless of any of that.
Again, I think some people get caught up in their body parts to the point that it's the detriment to the rest of everything else they can do, right?
Yeah.
And so they don't, I mean, there are people that don't overcompensate because they're so concerned about whatever. And I'm not saying that you should have to overcompensate, I guess, but I'm saying it is the whole, because they're so uncomfortable with the body part that it makes them a crappy lover because they're so uncomfortable to give even in other ways. I mean, that is a thing that also happens.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, yeah, back to, again, we all like different things and but we do have this cultural narrative that puts everybody into boxes about what we should be. And I know I've heard guys who say, you know, they really like women who are a little more overweight, but they don't feel like they can date them because of social, what would their guy friends say? Or what would their, you know, so it's an interesting thing because I'd love to, the people who haven't been in long-term relationships or haven't found the right person, it would be so fun if you could truth serum them. And hear what they really think. You know, is it that, yeah, I really do like women that look like this, but all my buddies would make it so hard on me that I can't do that. Yeah. And so then they're unhappy. You know, I mean, I'm fascinated by some of those types of stories, and weight is the one that I hear it more than anything else because of the social lack of acceptance. But it's, yeah, it's an unfortunate thing that we can't just be who we are. I mean, I think honestly, we'd all be just healthier people in general if we didn't have all of these worries about our body parts and we have the communication to go with it. I mean, I think there's a lot of pieces that come together to make this better for everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Be willing to be open and communicate, but learning how to do that and do that well is, again, it's a challenge.
Yeah. Nope. I get you. And so, I really want to encourage women to not freak out, or absolutely consider it a negative if somebody drops their drawers and they're surprised by a small penis. It's not necessarily the size of the boat. It's the motion in the ocean. That's a phrase that I've heard for a really long time. And can you grab onto that? You find the right lover, you can. You have somebody that connects with you and plugs in with your desire and your need for fulfillment. You can. You just have to find the right person. And that doesn't mean that it's because of the dick size. It means it's because of not finding the right partner. So I'd like for women to be more open to the idea of men with smaller penises.
Right.
You okay?
Yeah, drinking is hard. Are you dying? Apparently today. I am. I don't know. Okay. You're tearing me up over here. I'm getting all choked up. Oh my God.
It's a serious message. It's all of that.
Please, men with small penises, don't despair. We love you.
Yeah. Honestly.
Well, and the other thing too is that is where all of what you just said that I actually heard while it was choking. Uh-huh. It is also why we need to talk about this stuff so that women as well as men can communicate better, because then women feel more empowered to take control in the bedroom.
Right.
And when the guy drops his drawers and he's got a small penis and you're a person who you're like, oh, I'm a clit stimulated lady, we can work with this. This yep. is awesome. You can dive in and just, you know, and
know
enjoy
exactly
yourself. Exactly.
Right.
And it can be beautiful, but women also need to be, you know, truly empowered to do that. We need to give ourselves the permission, and we also need the culture and the men to give permission too, because mm-hmm. some guys will say they like women to take control, but then they don't necessarily like that as it, when it comes down to it, it doesn't happen.
Well, there's a whole nother thing to talk about, which would be cuckolding, which is an answer that a lot of people, couples with that have a man with a small penis do, is that he's not able to satisfy her with his cock size, so she then finds a play partner outside of the marriage who comes and fucks her while the other partner is there watching. Mm-hmm. And then he like cleans up the mess, and it's part of their dynamic. It's considered fetish play, it's certainly not for everybody, but it is yet another way to satisfy the need in a marriage and stay married to your best partner ever. Like maybe you do it for each other in every other way, but it's about finding solutions, not about calling it a problem.
Right. And so the cuckolding thing. So you just made a statement that brings this to mind. So you said that he cleans up the mess in a sense. And I know a lot of times with cuckolding, there's kind of a humiliation piece to that.
He can be in charge of that, or she can be in charge of that. It just depends on, again, the dynamic. Okay. If they've gone down the road of deciding that his cock is not good enough for her, to satisfy her, mm-hmm. and there's some sort of play there back and forth where he's open to her experiencing another man with a big cock in order to satisfy the need that he's not able to provide with his small cock, mm-hmm. that there's a way in order for him to stay involved in that and not have it become a feelings-based affair.
Mm. Okay.
Is that he's involved in the situation. He admits the shortcoming of his small penis and that it doesn't satisfy her, but he's still going to be involved, and he's going to eat out her pussy and clean up the cum from the guy that fucked her, because he's her husband and this is his job. And this is how he pleases her.
Okay.
So,
and I would say,
very interesting.
Yeah. But I can also, you know, I mean, it wouldn't have to necessarily, like, every couple, it's going to look a little different.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm all about solutions. So, mm-hmm. you know, if a couple comes to me with a problem, I'm going to present to them, well, have you ever thought of this? Have you ever thought of that? Is this something you would consider? Have you ever, you know, and my thinking is to stretch the rubber band and find some sort of solution. There has to be a win-win situation somewhere. And most of it happens through communication. And sometimes it just means exploring the options. So a couple can sit down and talk about the idea of cuckolding and be like, that is totally not where we are. We would rather embrace the clit stim and playing with toys. And, you know, this is our sweet spot versus the extreme, which might be the cuckolding. Or something, you know, so they find out that they're actually a more normal couple, or more vanilla couple, or they find more pleasure in each other than introducing a third party. So it gives them a sense of unity, or how they fit into the grand picture of things. having different ways of looking at stuff isn't necessarily a bad thing. It just shows you the spectrum of options.
Right? Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's very, very interesting stuff for sure.
So you talked about the fact that if you have a small penis, finding condom is really hard. Mm-hmm. Is there any particular brand that people can go to that has a more of a range of sizes? I know I've certainly seen out there that there are smaller condoms.
They're not usually found at the local. You usually have to go online to find them.
Okay. So
that's basically what happens.
Okay. And I think that's an important thing for people to know, is that you have to make that effort.
Yeah. And yeah, so you have to plan ahead. You know, if you're a randy guy who's planning to have a lot of sex, whether you have a big cock or a small cock, you need to make sure that you have plenty of condoms on stock. So, you know, order them in, make sure that you have them coming, put them on auto ship if you have to. You need to have them.
And try some brands. And I'm curious to know, and I don't know the answer to this, but I'd love to know if there are some sex stores that actually have like packages of, you know, sample packs where you can try different types. So you don't have to invest. I don't know, but if stores are listening, it would be a good idea to have.
They okay, do. Good. If you go to different sex stores, they have sample where you can buy for $1, where you buy a singular condom, and the hope is that you'll try it and like it and come back and buy more.
Right. If you know what you like, then you can buy more. So it's finding those that work so that you can go, aha, this is the one. So don't throw away those wrappers, people, until
so that you know. So it's just really, it's interesting. Different stores will specialize in different things. The condom thing has been so hit or miss. Like I said, I've been kind of researching them. So looking at the different stores, it's not like a McDonald's where every sex store you go into is going to carry the same brands and the same variety, and you're going to get the same price. I think your best bet is really to go online. Maybe if you have an above average or below average cock, you need to maybe send an email to the company and ask them to mail you a copy. A sample.
Yeah, don't send them back. Send a copy of a condom.
Right. Just 3D printer out. No.
Exactly.
But I think that's probably ask for a sample. I've never tried that, but that would probably be a really good thing. Maybe I'll do that for our video version of something.
Yeah, there you go. Well, and it might be worth too, you know, look online if you can't find an assortment pack of sorts. And I honestly haven't looked. I feel like I saw something somewhere, which is why this came to mind. But you could call the store if you're in the space of you're trying to get more comfortable with your penis size, but you're not there yet. Call the store. You can use *67 to block your number so they can't see who's calling.
They still do that? They still do that on your...
*67? Yeah, I think *67
is... on your cell phone.
I don't know if it works on your cell phone. That's a good question. I think it might still work on the landline. I don't know, but I'll have to try that now. I'm pretty sure it still works on the landline though. But call them and just ask and say, hey, I'm looking for small. Do you have any sample packs or whatever? Because again, you're probably way not alone. I mean, we've seen there's not a huge amount of micro penises, but at the same time, or people with micro penises, that at the same time, there are people with smaller penises, you know, that might be something that they have. And God knows if somebody works at the store or owns the store who also is in a similar boat, they might be somebody to be a little more catering to that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Or somebody who loves a micro penis.
I'm like looking at my pinky, and my pinky is about... My pinky is 2¼ inches long.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
How long is your pinky?
My pinky. Get out my IKEA.
I can hear it. I hear it.
It is, well, okay, where are you measuring from? Are you measuring from the inside of your finger, like the base of?
Yeah, that last, the last crease line there.
Okay, so my pinky is about 2¾. Yeah.
So yours is actually closer to what a micropenis size would be, smaller than something smaller than the size of your pinky would be.
That is so interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
I mean, is. Okay. Well, it is.
So ladies, look at your pinky and just kind of look at that and realize not everybody's pinky will be the same, but
right.
What could you do with that?
And it could have more girth than your pinky, absolutely, or not. But yeah, but there's a lot, in my opinion, there is a lot that you can do, especially if clitoris stimulation is a thing for you. And again, for many women, it really is. And for women who have only had, you know, have had a partner that only cares about their vagina and getting it in, check it out, because you might find that, you know, it could be a delightful thing. Yeah. But yeah, no, I think that's the thing. I really think the take-home message for all people, all human beings, if interacting with penises, is there's a lot more you can do with a penis than what we see in the porno movies.
That's right.
And just the thrusting action. There's a lot more that can happen there, and a lot of enjoyment from both parties can,
yeah,
you know, this doesn't have to be a one-sided thing. And if it is, sometimes that's okay too, but there's a lot that can happen there that can be delightful, that can happen outside your vagina.
That's so right. I love that.
Advantage of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good point.
Before we go, let everybody know about where to find you.
You can find me on Facebook, or you can find me on the internet, both under my name, Patricia Engelking, www.patriciaengelking.com, or you can reach out to me through email through that page as well. I can be found, or through the podcast here. So just feel free to send me a message or ask a question, and I'll be happy to answer you.
Wonderful. And when you're on the podcast site, you can get to your book as well from there, the book that you already have out, Crossing the River Called Suffering, and then your new book, when that comes out, we'll put that up there too.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect. I'm so
and
excited.
My wellness podcast, weekly wellness podcast, you can find at wellnessrenpodcast.com, or look up Wellness Renaissance Podcast on whatever you listen to your podcasts on. And yeah, I've got like 120 some episodes, so check it out. And
that might get a person through the entire quarantine.
Right? I know. Exactly. There's a lot of stuff going on there.
No kidding.
And please feel free and encouraged to, if you are somebody who has the ability, likes what we're doing, and can support this podcast, Sex Matters, on Patreon, you can go to our website, sexmatterspodcast.com, and click on the Become a Patron button and head into our patron site. It's you know, it's kind of like supporting NPR, except that we don't actually have a base source of funding. So
right.
it's just us two and a little bit of tech help on the other side. So and anything you can do to support us and keep this going and build this and build our community, sharing the podcast with people that you know is also wonderful. It's a great way to get the information out there. It's a great way to help this conversation going, and don't underestimate the sharing of the podcast and how much that really means to us and our growth and the mission that we're on.
Yes.
So thank you.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Patricia. This is always a good time. And next time we'll talk about penises of a different size.
Okay.
All right. Bye, everybody. Hey, you guys, before I let you go, I just wanted to mention one thing that we talked about, but I wanted to be a little more complete in the discussion so we're not accidentally giving misinformation. Unrelated thing, *67 does work. I did call my landline from my cell phone. Works from your cell phone. In these times of physical distancing, it gets a little lonely. Sometimes you have to just call yourself and take matters into your own hands. The thing that I wanted to mention is we talked about when you're using a female condom, of course, to be careful when you're thrusting after you have come, to make sure that you don't come out and go outside and around the condom into the vagina outside the vagina.
One of the things that I failed to mention is to also say that pre-cum also has sperm in it. So before you come, being outside the female condom or any condom inside a vagina, still not okay, not safe, doesn't work well as a method of birth control. Also, of course, transmitting potential sexually transmitted diseases. So there you go. See you later.